Praise the Lord, everybody. I will try to my best to get through this without blubbering. I know that, like me, many of you have unsaved children, and my youngest, Curtis, is in that situation, and a couple years ago, he moved to Florida, and I was torn when he left there, or was when I found out he was going to move there, and I thought, God, you gave me a promise that you were going to save him. You told me specifically, and God finally gave me peace about it and said, this is just a side trip. There's some things I got to do. And so I thought, okay, well, I looked up all the churches in the area. You know, I put them down on a piece of paper and said, okay, Curtis, I want you to promise me you'll go visit these churches. Don't just settle on one, but, you know, try them all out. And I want you to pray about it. And, you know, and he agreed, you know, yes, I'll do that. Well, to date, he still has not done that. And Hannah and I both have felt like, you know, as much as I would love for him to just slip in the back door and just, you know, be saved on a back pew somewhere, we've always felt like that God was going to save him alongside the road somewhere, in his bedroom, in his car, or somewhere. There's something different because Curtis is such a private individual, and he'd probably die if he knew I was up here spilling his life. But when he was in the Navy, and probably even before that, I don't know how many years, he picked up a smoking habit in his teenage years. He hid it very well from me for the most part. But as he became a young adult, he kind of let little things out more and more. And when he was in the Navy, then, you know, other things came along. And because he couldn't smoke on the job, he picked up chewing tobacco. And I was like, Curtis, of all the nasty habits, why did you pick that one? But I look at it as it's just bondage. It's just a form of bondage that Satan keeps thinking, I've got him now. But I know a God that can change a heart in an instant. And I feel like as a parent, in this day and age, God is calling upon his people to do more than just the casual fast. And what I mean by a casual fast is, oh, you know, let's all fast this week. Okay, let's see, what's a good day for me? I think I'll pick Thursday. I'll give up my lunch. You know, I'll pray through lunch. And I know God honors that. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like that he's calling on his people. There's a scripture that says some things don't come about but through prayer and fasting. And I think we're living in a day and age now where time is short and we got to get serious. And so I had started fasting. I started, I think, a year ago, September. Just every few months, I go through a Whole 30. And I've used it for various major events in my life. And here a while back, I want to say the last one I did was in September. And long about, I don't know if it was in September or October, Curtis had sent me a Marco Polo and shared with me that some things that he could tell that this was a spiritual battle. It was going to be a spiritual battle with him and this trying to give up this chewing tobacco. And, you know, I gave God the victory and just kept praying and kept praying. And 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in my office. Let me back up. He had started to give up just on his own, trying. And he had a setback Thanksgiving. He went from chewing tobacco to one of those vape things. And he left his charger at home, and then he went back to chewing. And And then he went to the doctor and tried to get medication, and they put him on a patch. And so he's trying everything. So a couple weeks ago, he sent Hannah and I a Marco Polo. And I don't know if you know what Marco Polo is, but it's a video chat where you video yourself and chat, and then the next person can listen to it and video themselves back their answer or whatever. But he sent this video chat. I was sitting at home in my office working, and my thing popped up and said, like, Curtis is talking to you. And I was like, oh, Monday. And so I click on it, and immediately he starts talking about how he was driving home on Sunday from a friend's house, and the radio station that he listens to that plays what he calls normal music through the week, they play gospel music on Sundays. And he said he was just listening to it, and some song came on about praising God for the future. And he said, I don't know why, but I got all emotional and started crying. And he said, I was driving through Walmart parking lot. I had to stop and get some meat. And I was crying and trying to dry it up so I could go in the store. And he was all aggravated because he just couldn't control these emotions. And he said, he finally, you know, got it together, and he got inside, and he got to the meat department, and he said it just hit him like a flood, like the presence of God just hit him like a flood. And he's like, now it's not a good time, and God said, now is a good time. And he said he couldn't control it. The tears just came, and he began to weep there in the meat department. And he said he took his shirt and hid his face so that people wouldn't see him crying. And about that time, I jump up out of my chair, and I go shouting down the hallway and praising God. And I couldn't even finish the Marco Polo. And I finally, I pulled it together, and I tried to video him back. And I said, I'm sorry I'm such a hot mess, but I'm dancing in the hallways, and I'm praising God. I know that God is answering my prayers. If you're in this situation, you have unsaved loved ones, don't give up. It's been years. We've been praying for this child for years, but I know it's just a matter of time, and God is going to turn it around. Just keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep believing.
Why don't you just stand right now and believe God for whatever scenario that you have, whatever son, daughter, mother, father, that you've believed God for, a brother, a sister. In the name of Jesus, we release faith right now in you, Father. We trust you. We put our confidence in you today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We refuse to give up, Father, because you don't give up. We refuse to quit because you don't quit. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I pray over every situation represented in this room today. I pray over my own situations, Father. You know, you see. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I really believe that this is a time of desperation for the enemy. As he is desperately trying to hold on to ground, he is in serious risk of losing. I believe that this is a time of urgency for the church. If we would just press forward a little bit more, if we would just stay in this just a little bit longer, if we would just hold fast to that which we have been promised, we would see an outpouring of His Spirit, and we would see the lost become the saved. Behold now your people, O God, willing and able to do the work that you have placed before us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm
feeling this, and so I'm going to speak it. In our humanity at times, we get lured into trying to talk sense into people. I'll just speak for myself, okay? I'm a parent. I'm bringing up kids. I've got an 8-year-old that thinks she's 18. And sometimes it's easier, as a dad, you just want to talk some sense into them. I'm going to talk about this. What are you doing? And that's our humanity. See, I'm a smart guy. I'm an intelligent dad. You're a kid. I'm going to help you understand some things. My wife likes to use a terminology in our house that nobody speaks Nick like God does. What that really means is she can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk until she's blue in the face to me about something. And I hear her, but nothing may ever change. But if she talks to the Lord about it, if she talks to the Lord about it, and the Lord starts talking in the meat department at the Walmart in Gainesville, right. The message comes through loud and clear. Yes. I hear. Right. You see the difference? Some of us, maybe you don't have this problem. Some of us really struggle with this. Do you know what you're doing right now? Is this really what you want to do with your life? These are the things that we battle. Because in our humanity, we see what's right, we see what's wrong, and God has given us that wisdom. He gives you wisdom as a parent. Son, daughter, what are you doing? Brother, sister. All of us here have got siblings who from time to time make ridiculous decisions. And as the big brother, I'm the oldest in my family. Sometimes I want to grab, what are you thinking? What are you doing? I've tried that. Talk to the hand. You're just that fuddy-duddy older brother who thinks he knows better than me and is old-fashioned. And if you... between me and him. Oh, I get the polos. Oh, I get the messages. And I have to go to the family functions and see the ridiculousness from time to time. But I just, and they wait. They wait for me to say something. They're waiting for me to open. You know, there's situations going on right now that I know they're waiting with bated breath for me to say something about it. They've even tried to entrap me and lure me into talking about it. Nope. This is between me and God. You do what you want to do. You got peace with that? It's your life. You're 35 now. You can do what you want. But don't think for one minute that I ain't having conversations with someone who can do something about it. Right. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that we as parents don't have to interject and say things and speak things at times. I'm not talking about that today. But there comes a point in time where we have to turn it to Him. Let Him do the talking. Boy, He does it in mysterious ways. Boy, He puts them in some precarious situations. Mom, I don't understand this. Dad, I don't know why, but all of a sudden, hey, bro, I can't sleep at night anymore. I've been having nightmares. Oh, really? Talk to me about that. Brother Kendrick, come.
Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for the move of the Spirit of God. I'm grateful that He knows what we have need of. Just briefly, a couple passages of Scripture I want to share with you. The first one is a story in Matthew, and we're just going to read through this briefly. It's a kind of story that it's easy to sort of read through it and not really see the tragedy of it. I think it's in Matthew 19, if we want to go there for me, please, Sergi. It's easy for us to kind of read through this and not really see what a tragic situation this was. And it's also one that triggers sort of a very visceral response in our flesh, because immediately it starts thinking that the Lord's going to start messing with some stuff that we consider pretty valuable. But so just brace yourself with that. Let's just read through this a little bit and see what's here. So Matthew 19 and verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Let's hold there for a moment. Keep the commandments. So this is Jesus talking. This man comes to him, and he wants eternal life. He wants a relationship, presumably with Jesus. He maybe doesn't know it in those terms yet. He's seeking eternal life, but you know that's the path to that. And so he's seeking this relationship, and so he goes to Jesus and says, "I want an instruction manual. I want to know, what do I need to do here?" And he gets a pretty straight answer, pretty simple. He says, it's really easy. You just need to keep the commandments. So if we go to the next verse, I can relate to this gentleman. He wants precision. He wants specificity, right? He wants to know exactly which commandments. So he saith unto him, "Which?" meaning which commandments. So Jesus goes in and teaches him a little bit more. Says, "Thou shalt do no." Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So it gives him a nice, tidy list. Basically, runs through virtually all of the commandments. So far, you see, kind of in miniature, this incredible development here, where you've got somebody that is hungry for a relationship with God, seeking eternal life, getting specific direction, doctrine, really, if you will, and finding out exactly what he needs. Nice, concise little story. Next verse there. The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" So it's something kind of interesting. So first of all, you've got somebody who's been faithful, somebody who's been committed, somebody who has stayed in the process, somebody who believes that from the time he was very young, he had been following these commandments, had been seeking to live a righteous life, and had clearly gone through the study and the effort, really, that it must have taken to ensure that he didn't break any of those commandments. And so he says, I've got that covered. And then he says, what do I lack? And there's a couple different ways that could be rooted in. It could be that maybe he felt like he had this all figured out already. Maybe he felt like that he had everything taken care of, and I'm not really sure why he was even having this conversation or something. Maybe it was just for his own confirmation. Or maybe there was actually some desire in him to make sure that everything was right between him and God. When you look at the story in context, could easily go both ways. It's probably almost more the former than the latter. He's probably looking a little bit more for justification here, probably looking for a little more validation that everything, that all this effort that he's put in so far has been sufficient, and that he's got all the bases covered, and that he can't possibly need to do anything else. So if we look at the next verse. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So the last part of this is really incredible, because this young man just got a personal invitation from Jesus to be one of his disciples. This is probably what he was seeking maybe when he first went into this conversation. He maybe saw what was happening, saw the miracle, saw the move of God, saw the salvation and the anointing that was coming from Jesus, and said, that right there, I want to be a part of that. And he just got the invite. He just got a door thrown wide open. Come and follow me. And that invitation has been extended to him. But there's some conditions, some things that the Lord wanted to put into place. And I just to really set this on a level playing field here, I really feel like these instructions that the Lord gave him were personally targeted at him. That these were things that were, it was in response to his desire to know, what was I lacking? What is the impediment here? What's holding me back? What's keeping me from moving forward in my relationship with you, Jesus? And so his response came to him, and this was the list. He told him to basically clear everything out, take everything that he valued, set all that aside, look to his treasure in heaven, and to then come and follow Jesus. And if we look at the next verse, we see his response. And this is really the tragedy. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I think all of us have some things that we would consider precious to us. And as I ministered on fairly recently, sometimes you find out that there are things that are precious to you that you didn't know were precious. I didn't know that being president of my condo association was precious to me, but apparently it was, because the Lord took it away from me, and that revealed to me an error that needed some correction. If you haven't heard that story, it's recorded. But and it's funny in retrospect, and kind of absurd that I could get so wrapped around the axle, as the saying goes, on that. But it sure wasn't funny going through it. Each of us, though, has a set of things, has some things that, as we progress through life, the Lord is going to call us to leave them behind. And that's going to be a challenge for us. And it's definitely, and it's something that that is always within our ability to leave them behind. It's always within, he always gives us the grace to do it. But it's definitely going to require some choices. And I think really what the Lord is calling us to is to put some effort into this, maybe even a little more than what we've had before. Because you see, the idea of the possessions that this young man had, especially in that time, in that historical context, it bought him ease. It bought him security. It bought him stability. It bought him a set of things that wasn't going to change. It gave him a level of confidence in his current situation, made him some ways immune from the effects of the geopolitical activities of the day to a great extent. If you're wealthy enough at that time, you could probably buy your own army, for goodness sakes. I mean, it was just, if you had wealth, then you had security, and everything was pretty well dialed in. In our modern culture, and there we've been some ministry recently here on entitlement, and certainly this is part of that, something begins to creep into us that this is supposed to all be easy. That if at any point, I guess to put it one way, if the going gets tough, I must be going the wrong way. Am I right? Like, that's sort of the mentality that gets into us sometimes. If the going gets tough, then I'm this can't be where I need to be going. This can't possibly be where I need to be. If I'm having to put some effort into this, if I'm having to struggle, well, then this can't possibly be the right place. I need to find a place where I'm not struggling. And the instruction really from the Lord is, and we look at struggle as a negative thing, It's not as much struggle as it is simply ease, this idea of always seeking to be comfortable, to be in a place where I can just sort of coast, where I don't have to put too much effort into this. And I believe that the Lord is really calling us to reach beyond that. And there's an excellent example of this in Philippians chapter 3. Here we go to Philippians again. And I'm going to read just a few verses for you in Amplified, and then I'm going to point out to you something that surprised me when I went looking at some of the underlying Greek words in here. So in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, and I would really encourage you to read this whole chapter if you have the time. Not that I have already obtained it, this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made his own. Next verse. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on. Do you see in here in the writing of in Philippians, do you see here this active effort that's being invested? Do you see this constant seeking for ways not to become comfortable, not to sit down, not to recline, not to for ease, but constantly striving for those areas where I can go deeper in my relationship with God, where I can be more effective in the work of the kingdom of God, where I can be more active in the work of the kingdom of God. That's really what he is calling to here. And that word there where it says, and I press on. We usually try to avoid pressure wherever we can. And yet, here it is, this idea of constantly pressing. Here's something that's surprised me. If you look at the Greek word that is translated there, I press on, the Greek word there is likely mispronounced, dioko. And that word, dioko, is often translated a few times in here as pressing. What we've just read back in verse 12, that I follow after that I may apprehend, or that I press toward the mark, that's how it's often translated. But you know how it's translated way more often than that throughout the New Testament? The word persecution, persecuting. I didn't know that. I started looking back through. You know the whole verses where persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed? Yeah, that's the same word right there. And there's another one in Galatians. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. All those words, same word there, persecution. It's translated persecution more times than it's translated press or follow. That is something that we are, that word persecution, we tend to assume that that's something that comes way down in the book of Revelation somewhere, right? That's something that is, you know, if you're unfortunate enough to live in a country where you can't worship freely, then you might experience persecution. But that, I think, many ways is to, certainly, if you are in a country where you can't worship freely, then yes, there is persecution, and yes, there is crisis. But again, in our pursuit for ease, we can push back from that term and just kind of almost like somebody came in and saw a spider sitting somewhere and they're afraid of spiders. They're like, ah, no, I don't want anything to do with that, right? It's almost revulsion away from that. But the idea that this is going to be easy, the idea that I can just sort of relax, that I can maybe just kind of chill out and just coast for a little bit. I believe that, as I said a few minutes ago, the enemy is getting really desperate in this hour and is striving to lull the church into a sense of ease, to avoid us becoming serious about this, to maybe in some ways try and feed our flesh and cause our flesh to just really freak out about any loss to things that our flesh would consider valuable. Maybe to try and amplify or extend the list of things we have so that way if the Lord should call us to set some of them down that we would maybe be reluctant to do so and therefore give the enemy some advantage. All those tactics and more I see at work, and as I see them more and more, it inspires me further to do what the author here in Philippians said, to press on toward the goal that I may win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I choose to press forward. I choose to press forward. I choose to reach. I choose to extend beyond the limits of where I would prefer to be comfortable in. This isn't even reaching into an area necessarily that is unknown. It's not even reaching into something that is going to require some great amount of physical effort. It's not even that. It's less about seizing a hold of and more about releasing some things. That's really where the opportunity is for us, I believe, in this hour. And I believe the Lord is calling us to do that. And that as we continue to, we will see a response in the kingdom and in our lives individually, but also in the kingdom of God as His kingdom begins to advance on the earth in ways that we have not yet seen and in ways maybe that we haven't, at a level that we maybe haven't had an opportunity to participate in yet, partially because of the season of time, but also, I believe, because we are now ready and understand the urgency and the circumstances. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Kendrick. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. I don't know how many of you were able to listen to the audio file that Bishop sent out last Sunday morning. He talked in there about the idea of us in our humanity always looking for the easy way out. I had just said to my wife a few weeks ago, in dealing with our own life, and just life in general, just life, you know, raising kids, going to work, coming home, cooking dinner, keeping the house clean, keeping the lawn mowed, keeping your car cleaned out so it doesn't look like the landfill, you know, all those things Brother Tolbert identifies. Why does it have to be so hard? Why can't it just be easy? Why do I always seem like every time I turn around and face all this resistance? Why do I feel myself rising up against these things and things rising up against me and All I want to do is just go to work, come home, eat dinner, throw my feet up, maybe take a nap, put the kids to bed, and then go to bed. That's all I want. To me, that doesn't sound all that extreme, Brother Heiner. I mean, I think that's acceptable. Oh, no, no. All these things bombard us. Well, this isn't going to work out, and that's falling apart, and that situation over there is a mess, and this situation right here, and what? Why can't it just be easy, Brother Berglund? Why can't I just put my ice skates on and just skate? Not in this life. Bishop, in this teaching from back in July, a few years ago, began to address this idea that in our flesh, we want it to be easy. And we look for the easy way. That's what the rich young ruler, the scriptures that Brother Kendrick just shared with us, it was just easier for him to take the easy way. I'll tell you something today. You may not hear this in many churches across America, but you'll hear it here, and you'll probably hear it a lot. Following Jesus is hard. It's not a skate in the park. It's not always lollipops and candy stores. It's not always Pepsi Cola and Twinkies. Some days you find yourself on your knees crying, asking God, why? Why have you asked me to go through this? God, why? When you could literally come down in a moment and change this situation, why are you asking me to go through this and endure this until the end? You know, the scripture says that in the Gospels. He that endureth, everybody say that, endureth. He that endureth, that sounds like a baseball game with peanuts and Cracker Jacks to me. I don't know about you. He that endureth until the end. There's some things I'm going to come up against. There's some things I'm going to have to press through. Oh, yes. My flesh does not like pressing. In fact, my flesh presses back. That's my personality. My flesh presses back against things that push against it. Oh, God, you want me to do this and this? Nope. Oh, you asking me to go through this? Nope. Okay. Well, you're going to go through it anyway. It's like I tell my kids. You're either going to bed, you're going to bed, or you're going to bed. You can stretch this out a long time. You can make this really hard on yourself, but you're still going to bed. And it's no different with the Lord. You want to follow me? Okay, here's the ramifications. Here's all the things that are going to happen. He doesn't show us all of them, but we know it's coming. The psalmist would write about it. He'd give us insight into it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Ooh, that sounds like a skate in the park to me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of all my loved ones. No, my enemies, people who despitefully use me, who maybe talk bad about me and backstab me, and I would rather not even see their face ever again. And he puts me at a table. Says, love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That doesn't sound like easy street to me. That sounds like pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want us to stand today. I don't know what you're pressing against today. I know what I'm pressing up against today. I know what I feel in my flesh. I know the mountains that surround me, and I'm standing in the valley, and I'm looking around and thinking, I just walked over a mountain range. Another one already? If you've ever driven over I-82 between Ellensburg and Yakima, you crest that first big ridge out of Ellensburg, you get over the top, and you start down, and you think, ah, we're done. And then you look out there in the distance. If you got good eyes, you can see that there's vehicles climbing another grade. And you think, oh, I got one more left. That's it. And slowly you come down that hill and you start to climb that grade and you get to the top and you think, wow, this is it. And then you climb the top and you look out and you see again out in the distance there's more vehicles climbing another grade. Is there three grades there, three hills that you have to climb? Three decent climbs. And sometimes that's how life is in my walk with God. I feel like, okay, I've crested. We're over the top. We're going. Thank God. And then you look in the distance and you see another hill coming. I'm there today. I'm looking around and thinking, God, how am I going to get through this? These walls are tall. This mountain's high. He didn't ask me to go alone. He didn't say I'd have to do it alone. He said he would be with me every step of the way. I wonder if you just close your eyes right now and let the Lord minister to you. Let him bring strength to your vessel so that you can walk out of here today and keep pressing toward. That you can walk out of here today and be obedient to whatever it is that God's asking of you. It won't be easy in your flesh, but be obedient to whatever he's asking of you, whatever he's leading you through. I surrender myself to it. I ask for your grace, Father. I ask for your strength right now in the name of Jesus. This isn't going to happen in me. But Father, I know that by your grace, by your strength, I can do all things. I can be victorious. I will come out victorious in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we stand upon your word today. We know and understand that it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not through our flesh, but it is by your spirit. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the strength that you've given us. I thank you, Father, for the strength that you've imparted to each of us, for the grace that you've given to each of us, for our own journey, for our own personal walk, for our own personal challenges, Father. I thank you today. I thank you today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't you lift your hands and sing this to him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your strength. Sing it again to him. Still I will trust you, Father.
Still I will trust you. Still I will follow. Still I will listen.
Listening to you, Jesus. I'm listening for your voice today, Jesus.
Storm rages on, and I can't.
you trust him today? I say to you, Father, still I will trust you. I'll follow you, Jesus. I'll press toward. I'll press through. Participate in the cake auction. I'm going to turn this to Brother Kendrick. He's going to head that up. If you need to leave, you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Also, if I don't have your phone number and you want to participate or be a part of the WhatsApp thing, make sure you see me before you leave today so I can get that information from you. God bless you. Have a quick time of fellowship here before they start that cake auction.